Evening, everyone.
Evening. How are you?
Bokhshem, Bishus, and Striker. And anyone else? That's it, we're good. When I was a Bokha, not very long ago, I was sitting in the Beis Medrash on first day Pesach and learning with the Chavruta. And three black people, not a racist comment, they happened to be black, it was the color of their skin. Three black people walked into the room. And they walked over to me at my chavrusa. They claimed that they were working for the BBC. I realized, like, towards the end of the conversation, that actually one of them was holding, like, a small camera next to his chest the whole time. And they started attacking me. Not physically, but verbally. Does everyone here know what a blood libel is? Yeah, blood libels, goes back a long way, hundreds and hundreds of years. A lot of the pogroms and attacks on Jewish people started with blood libels, which basically they claimed that the Jewish people ate or drank the blood of Christian boys at their Seder. So they started to come with accusations. It was the first day Pesach, it was Seder the night before. And they started to ask me all sorts of questions. Do you eat human blood? I said, no, not very often. So he said to me, it's not true, because a bris milah, first of all, they started saying that bris milah is done orally, which I don't know where they got that from. But I corrected them and told them that there's this thing called matzitza that they do at bris milah. And they said, how are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to eat blood. So the conversation didn't last very long. I told them about atosis and kasubas that they weren't so familiar with, and then it sort of killed it off. But they were telling me all about all sorts of different things and religions, and they had basically invented their own religion where they do what they do based on what it says in the Torah, straight from the Torah. So they asked me if I had a paschal lamb last night. So I said, no, we don't do that nowadays because we're not in Yerushalayim without a base of Mikdash. So it doesn't say that in the Torah. We had our paschal lamb last night. And they said that this year Shavuos falls out 52 days after Pesach. I said, what do you mean? It says in the Torah, 7 weeks, every single year, never changes, 7 weeks after Pesach. I said, no, you're making a mistake. And we know that the Jews got it wrong, because this is one of the things the Jews got wrong. Because it says in the Torah that you count 7 weeks mimocharas ha-Shabbos, from the day after Shabbos. So Pesach that year, whatever the question was, it was on Wednesday. So they started counting their 7 weeks from the day after Shabbos. Now, they weren't the first ones to make this mistake. They were wrong, we're not wrong. They weren't the first ones to make this mistake, because the Gemara says that this is one of the big arguments between the Tzedokim and the Yidden. That the Tzedokim held that you count 7 weeks from the day after Shabbos. It says in the Torah, Mimochras HaShabbos, that's when you count Shivos Shavuos. And we know that Shabbos refers to the first day Pesach. But the question is, if Shabbos refers to the first day Pesach, why is the Torah not just write the first day Pesach? Then these people wouldn't be making such mistakes. Tell us what you mean. Well, why does it say Mimochras HaShabbos? Why does it refer to Pesach as Shabbos? Question number one. Question number two. We count 7 weeks towards Shavuos. Yeah, we just came out, the parashah we've just been reading, parashah B'Shalach this week, we're coming out of Mitzrayim, and next week, parashah Yisroi, Kabbalah HaTorah. And we count down in anticipation to receiving the Torah. And the famous kasha, the chinchas, the kasha, milchus chinchas, the kasha, that if we're counting down in anticipation, let's say you've got a chasna coming up, or a birthday coming up. So you count, 10 days left, 9 days left, 8 days left. Why by Sefiras Omer do we count up instead of down? Famous kasha. Third kasha, less famous kasha, what we count it down to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Why is the Yom Tov called Shavuos? Because we count 7 weeks. But we also count 49 days. Why don't we call it Yomim? We count more days than we count weeks. But why is Shavuos called Shavuos? Why is it not called Yomim? Three kashas. So we're going to discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim, the lessons that we can learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and hopefully from there we'll come and answer these questions. In last week's parasha, the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael, this month is the first of the months. This is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, that every single month Beis Din have to sit and be Mekadesh, the new moon. So on that pasuk, there's a very strange medrash. The medrash is, it brings a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Kol Dodi Hinezeh Bo Medalek Alohom Mekabes Halak Vois. It's talking about Hashem, that he comes jumping and skipping over the mountains. And it talks about a conversation that took place between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Very, very weird conversation. Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, why are you here in a Mokim Tameim? Asher besat kamerim besorim zimus susim zimosim. They're such a terrible, low nation that compared to animals. Why are you here? Kumilach rayosu yufasu lekilach. Come on, get up. Let's leave. Time to go. Amar lefanov. So they turned around to Hashem and said, Ribono shel Olam, Tov Shana Amar Slan Leishtabed. You promised us 400 years of backbreaking labor. By Dain Lashomu, we didn't do 400 years. We've only done 210. Amar Leish, so he said back to them, Kavashomu, it's already over. Shanae Marcus, it says in the Pasuk, Hinei Hastov Ova Hageshem Cholaf Holachlo. Because the winter's passed. Now, we don't understand any of this Medrash at all. First of all, Hashem trying to kick Chayes Olam Mitzrayim. Why are they complaining? They're saying, we want 400 years. What's wrong with them? Someone offers you to leave. Get out. Second problem is, Hashem answers them, no, it's time to leave now because the winter has passed. Shaykhus, the winter. What's it got to do with anything? And the most puzzling thing about this whole thing is, what has this got to do with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaKodesh? Why is this Medrash written on the Pasuk about HaKodesh HaZelokem? Now, we know that the winter, by the time we get to Pesach, the winter's passed. Now we're in the middle of it, but it would have passed. And we stop saying Geshem, and we start saying instead Tefillas Tal. Now, has anyone ever stopped and thought, what has Tal got to do with Pesach? What's it got to do with the summer? Tal falls the entire year round. Right? In the morning, it's called dew. Yeah? In the morning, dew in America. In the morning, you have a layer of dew, which is on top of, I'll just say Tal, and then I'll be okay either way. You got a layer of Tal, which is on top of everything. Everything feels wet. It happens the whole year round, not just in the summer. In fact, in Chutzaretz, where they don't say Moed HaTal, then in the summer you don't mention anything about Tal in davening. In the winter you say the same Tal Mata. In the summer you don't say anything about Tal. So why do we say Tefillas Tal on Pesach? And what's the summer got to do with Tal? Why is that the time of Tal? So the Makor is actually a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, which is talking about the brachas that Yitzchak gave to Esav and Yaakov. It says over there, Vahiki zokin Yitzchak, Yitzchak was very old, and his eyes were weak. Higia leil yom Pesach, and it was the night of Pesach. Ukro Yitzchak Esav b'no Godel, he called his older son Esav, and he said to him, B'ni, zeh alayla koloyim koloyim im boi halal, everyone's saying halal, v'oitzvei tzolam niftachim b'zu alayla, and the oitzveis of Tal are open this night. Aseli matamim, make me nice delicacies. Achani bo'odi while I'm alive, but avochecha, and I'll be able to bless you. So he went to get his delicacies, and Rivka saw what was going on, and she got involved, and she said to Yaakov, Bini, my son, halayla azeh, oitzveis tololim niftachim boi, the oitzveis of Tal are open tonight. Halyonin omishiru, halayla azeh, asidim bonin li gol mi ad shibut. This night, your children are going to come out of shibut. Therefore, make food for your father. Make sure you get the brachas. This is where we learn Tal from. This is what Tal has to do with Pesach. In other words, it's not because it's Pesach that we say Tefillas Tal. It's only Pesach because of Tefillas Tal. Tal comes first. Rivka said to Yaakov, get the brachas because tonight is the night of Tal. Whatever that means, we're going to have to see. Tonight is the night of Tal. And your children are therefore going to come out of Mitzrayim on this night. What? Why this night? What's got to do with now? Why is that the reason why they came out of Mitzrayim? Another kasha, famous kasha, everyone asks, what was Yitzchak thinking trying to give the brachas to Esav? If this is the night where the Oitzvei Tzolom Niftachim, it's such a chosh of a time, the time of brachas when the Klai Yisrael are going to come out of Mitzrayim, why is he giving brachas to Esav and not to Yaakov? So, Ramush Shapiro, who I'm sure you all hear a lot about because Mashkiach is down with Moshe Shapiro and everyone's Moshe Shapiro, Moshe Shapiro. And Moshe Shapiro, he used to come to England once, twice a year, and he'd have a chabur there of his Talmidim, people like, big people like Rabbi Kiva Tatz and Rabbi Todras Miller and Rabbi Hartman, all very kosher people, and he'd sit around the table and he'd go around, and I don't know if he did this very often. I've got a friend, Rabbi Kivitatz's son is a friend of mine, so he heard a recording of one of these chaburas. He goes around the table, and each one of them says what's bothering them. Whatever's on their mind, it could be a question on Ashkofa, on Halacha, on Musa, on Gemara, whatever's bothering them. They each ask their question, and he'd sit there for like 30 seconds like this, and then he'd say a chabura with one yesod that answered all the questions. So they asked him, like, how do you do this? What's the magic trick? So he said that Torah is like a tree. And a tree has lots of branches. And if you trace back those branches, they'll always meet one point. You just have to trace them back, and they come to one point. So what he usually does is takes things back to Bereshis. So Bereshis Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the Shemayim and Aretz. There's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What came first, Shemayim or Aretz? Beis Shammai say Shemayim came and then the Aretz. And Beis Hillel said the Aretz came first and then the Shemayim. Who cares? It happened, they're both here now. What difference does it make? We're going to see that a world which was created Shemayim then Aretz is a very different world to a world which is Aretz then Shemayim. Okay, and there was also a machlokes between the Talmid and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in Rosh Hashanah. Very similar machlokes. The Rebbe Lezer, who's the Talmud of Beis Shammai, says that the world was created in Tishri. And Rebbe Shua, who's the Talmud of Beis Hillel, says the world was created in Nisan. Okay? So let's just recap the questions, and then we're going to bring everything together. First of all, three questions on Sfiras HaOmer. Why is it saying in the Pasuk that we start, that we count Mimochas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, if we count from the day after Pesach? Number two, why do we count up and not down? Number three, why is it called Shavuos and not Yomim? It, just like we count weeks, we count days as well. And then we have the Medrash on the Pasuk HaKadosh Zelachem. We have three problems. What's it got to do with the mitzvah HaKadosh Zelachem? Why were Klai Yisrael complaining about coming out Mitzrayim? And what was Hashem's answer to them? The winter has passed. Number seven, why do we say Tefillah Salam Pesach? What's it got to do with Pesach? Why did Yaakov want to give the box to his sons, Dafka, because it's Tel? And why did Yitzchak want to give the bracha to Esav and not to Yaakov? And then we had two machlokes in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether Shemayim and Eretz was created first, and Rebbe Lezer, and Rebbe Yeshua, whether the world was created in Nisan or Tishri. So the test, all these caches and much more, is as follows. It says in the beginning of the Torah, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz. In the beginning, Elokim created Shemayim Ve'aretz. What does Elokim mean? So everyone knows Hashem has two main names, Elokim, which represents Midas Hadin, and the Shem Havai, Yodkei Vovkei, which is Midas Rachman. Now, what's the difference between Din and Rachman? We hear these words a lot, but what do they mean? So Din is always judgment, in English, is cause and effect. That means if you're a good boy, you get a reward. If you're a bad boy, you get a punishment. If you go to work, then you get paid. If you don't go to work, you don't get paid. Except for Corona, where you get paid either way. So, everything is always cause and punishment. That is when it comes to Din. Rachamim, mercy, is the opposite. Rachamim means that I get something even though I didn't deserve it. That's the definition of Rachamim. So, let's say a lottery ticket. A person wins a lottery. Someone won that lottery thing in America now. A billionaire. Really? Can you give me that number? So, that's what Mitzvah Rachamim is, that you get something even though you not deserve it. So the difference between Din and Rachamim is Din is cause and effect, and Rachamim is sort of the consequence without any cause. Shemayim is the source of everything. Everything comes from Shemayim. Eretz is the receiving side. Whether it's physically that the rain falls and then things grow, and spiritually as well. All the hashpoyos come down from Shemayim for everything spiritual in this world. So in the beginning, Bereshis Bara Elokim, that means Midas Hadin created, Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz, the Shemayim, the heavens, Ves HaAretz, and then the earth, because that's the logical way of doing things. That's Din, that you have the cause, Shemayim, and then the effects, the earth. But Rashi says that Hashem saw that it wasn't going to last. The world would not be able to manage with Midas Hadin. The world wouldn't be able to manage with cause and effect. People would get things wrong. Someone wouldn't wake up for Shacharis and they get struck down by lightning. It just wouldn't go. So what happened? It says later on in Bereshis as well. B'yom asois Hashem Elokim Eretz v'Shemayim. Rashi says Hashem brought along Midas HaRachamim as well. And then it was Eretz v'Shemayim. And then it was Eretz, that means the land, and then Shemayim. Because in a world of Rachamim, it's possible to have the effect even before the cause. You can have Eretz even before you have Shemayim. The machlokes in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is, when Hashem changed his mind, how much did he change his mind? Beis Hillel held that the machshava is out. This world is a world of Rachamim. Hashem created a world of Rachamim, which is Eretz v'Shemayim, the land and then the Shemayim. You can have the effects, you can have the rewards, even without any cause, even without being deserved. Beis Shammai was of the opinion that Beis Shammai always goes after machshava. Someone told me that if you, every single machlokes Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Shas, you can always boil down to this point, that Beis Shammai goes after the thoughts, and Beis Hillel goes after the lemaisa. For instance, this week, Tu B'Shvat. Beis Hillel says the Tu B'Shvat is on Tu B'Shvat. That's when things start to grow. Beis Shammai says it's on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, because that's when the koyach for things to grow comes into the world. So over here too, Beis Hillel says, what did Hashem do? Created the land and then the Shemayim. Beis Shammai say, no, Hashem, what Hashem originally wanted to do, that's be'etzem the world that we live in, which with Shemayim then Eretz, with Din. That you have to have cause and then effect. It happens to be that most people can't handle it, so for them he treats them with Midas HaRachamim. There's a Vilna Gaon about Rabbi Kiva when he was getting his skin scraped off by the Romans. The Malachim were very upset about it. And Hashem turned around to him and he said, be quiet. Tach also machshavosai tchila. This is what I thought originally. What does that mean? Hashem was saying to them, everyone else can have rachamim. You're right. For a normal person, it wouldn't be right for them to be a tzaddik and have their skin peeled off. But Rabbi Kiva, he is tach also machshavosai tchila. I wanted people like him. He's someone who can live with midas hadin. And something goes a little bit wrong and he gets struck down by lightning. That's how it goes. So that's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The machlokes between the Talmidim is the same thing. Because in a world of din, you have to have winter, then summer. You have to have the season when the rain falls, and then after that, things grow, cause and effect. But in the world of Beis Hillel, it's possible to have a summer even before you've had the winter. The world can be created in Nisan. The first month of the year can be Nisan, and things will grow even though the rain hasn't fallen. Because that is Midas HaRachamim, that you can have the effect even without the cause. So that's why the Talmidim and Beis Hillel held the world was created in this. Now, brachos. What is a bracha? A bracha is something that's only shaykh in the world of rachmin. Think about it. If din means that I do something and I get rewarded for what I do, I don't get anything for free, so there can't be such thing as a bracha. A bracha means I'm giving you something that you don't deserve. I'm giving you a bracha. If you deserved it, then it's only my bracha. Yeah, people go to a chacham and ask him for a bracha to become a talmid chacham. So you tell them to sit and learn. You can't get something for free. You can't get a bracha for something if you worked at it, because otherwise you don't need the bracha. So a bracha is only possible in the world of rachamim. Yitzchak, who was giving out the brachas, is Midas HaDin. He personified Midas HaDin. He held that his son, Yaakov, as big as a tzaddik as he was, should live in a world of din. He doesn't need brachas. He doesn't need rachamim. He's like we said about Rabbi Kiva. He's someone who should work on everything and get reward for all the work that he does. He doesn't need freebies. He doesn't need things without working. Esav, on the other hand, could do with a helping hand, so we'll give him the brachas. That's what Yitzchak held. His mistake was that Rivka got involved. Where did he go wrong? Because what did Esav do? Esav, he had the bechorah. He runs in, he's thirsty, he wants to drink. And he says to Yaakov, give me the soup. Yaakov says to him, give me the bechorah. So he asked him, what is this bechorah? So Rashi speaks out over there that Yaakov said that you could die from it, it's a lot of work. So Esav says, Lomo zeli b'chuyo. Why would I want to do that? Hashem gives me stuff anyway. Look, I'm alive, I'm healthy, there's nothing wrong with me. Why do I want to work? Rivka understood her son Esav that if he would receive the brachas, if he was getting things for free, then he wouldn't do any work. He would sit back and do nothing. The idea of Midas HaRachamim, and this is an important point, the idea of Midas HaRachamim is not that we take things and we just move on with our lives. Hashem gives us all things which we are not deserved of, probably. I can't speak for everyone, but we have health, we have good families, we have jobs, and we have das. And we're not necessarily deserved of those things. But why is Hashem giving them to us? He's not giving them to us that we should just take them and get on with our lives. He wants us to use the things that he's giving us to make ourselves better, to make ourselves deserved. That's the whole idea. He gives us the matana. We're going to take that matana, change ourselves, and become people who are deserving of whatever he gave to us. That's the idea of Midas HaRachamim. And Esav was going to be mevazeh that. Esav wasn't going to do that. So Rivka got involved. She said, don't give the brachas to Esav. Give the brachas to Yaakov. When were these brachas given? On Pesach. On the night the Oitzus had to lolim mitokim. What's it got to do with Tal? So the text is that Tal is the only thing, someone's going to correct me, whatever, it's one of the only things, I should say, in nature, that you have an effect without any apparent cause. Rain falls from Shemayim, we see where it comes from. Tal, you come in the morning and things are wet. Where did the water come from? It didn't come down from Shemayim, it's just there. It just appears there. So Tal is Midas HaRachamim. Tal is the the natural form, the natural way that we see Midas Rachamim in this world, because it's a cause without any apparent effect. Sorry, it's the effect, the consequence without any apparent cause. We can't see how it got there. We don't know how it's there. This time, Pesach, Nisan, is the time of Tav, the time of Rachamim. Why? Because like we said, a world of Rachamim is a world that starts at Nisan, where you have the summer before the winter. That is Rachamim. You can have the things growing even before rain falls. So therefore, now is the time of Tal. Now at Pesach is the time of Tal, because now is the time that you can have the effect, even without any cause, you can have things growing even though there's no rainfall. So this is the time of Otzat Tzlom, and this is the ideal time for giving brachas, which are Midas HaRachamim, and that's why Yitzchak gave the brachas now. There's an incredible remez for this. In the tefillah of Geshem that we say on Sukkos, and the tefillah of Tal, if you compare the way that they're both written, they both follow Aleph Beis. Geshem, if you read through the Psukim, Av Nimshuk HaKrek Kamayim Barak Tukei Shosol HaPagimayim Ba'avura Atim Lemayim. It's all sorts of reasons why Hashem should make the rain fall. Because Avram Avinu did this, and Yitzchak did this, therefore give us rain. Tefillah Tal, there's no reasons. There's no cause and effect, it's just asking for Hashem. Tein Nevat Tzah Zekho, Shusein Nebrocha B'dit Zekho. We don't give any reason, we just say to Hashem, give. What's more amazing is that the Tefillah of Geshem follows the Aleph base from Aleph to Tov. Starts with Avnim Shukamayim, Barak Tekeit, etc. The Tefillah of Tal is the opposite. It starts at Tov and it goes back to Aleph. Tainu Tzois, Shisena Baraka, Rov Dagon, because that is Tefillah's Tal. Tefillah's Tal is that you can have the ending without the beginning. It doesn't need to follow a normal Seder. You don't need cause and effect. You can have something even with no apparent reason. So therefore we start at the top, we start at the end, and we work our way back to the beginning. So HaKadosh Baruch comes to Klai Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And he says, Kumi loch, rayasi yofasi lichi loch, it's time to go out. The Medrash says in Shashim, it says on the Pasuk of Kishoshana ben Achokim, that Midas Hadin would never have allowed Klai Yisrael to come out of Mitzrayim. They weren't deserved at all. There was no way that they were going to come out. The only way they could come out is with Midas HaRachamim. So Hashem comes to Klai Yisrael, he says, come on, time to come out. They turn around to him and they said, you promised us 400 years. What were they saying? They were saying, like Yitzchak Avinu, we want to do things properly, we want Midas Hadin, we don't want to play these games. We want 400 years. So Hashem turned around to him and said, no, Kinei Astov Ova. The winter is gone. You can't live a life of winter before summer. You're not holding on such a dagger. I would love to give you that, but you're not holding by that. So you have to live a life of summer before winter. You have to live a life where things grow, even though there's no apparent reason. I have to give you rachamim. I just have to give you, even though you don't deserve it. Where is this medrash written? On the pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodesh. That this month, Nisan, is the first month of the year. Like Beis Hillel. That this month is the first month of the year. If Nisan is the first month of the year, then that means you have a summer before winter. Here, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is saying to them, this is you, Klal Yisrael. You're living in a world of rachamim. You can't live in a world of din. You're not holding by such a dagger. It's time to live by rachamim. And I'm going to take you out. This will be the first month. I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim and you will have the rachamim. And what's meant to happen next? Klai Yisrael has this rachamim. And they're meant to work on themselves to get to a dagger where they're deserved of that rachamim. By the Seder, Chayev Odom Liris is asked by Kilu Yotz Mitzrayim. The person's meant to see himself as if he came out of Mitzrayim. Every person has to realize that he in his own life is given things, his own UTS Mitzrayim, given things that he doesn't need, that he's not deserved of. He didn't do anything to get them. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave him them for free. But a person has to take those things and he has to work on himself and make himself deserving of those things. It says, just before Dayenu, we say, Apostle, Kamot Milas Tovus Amokam Aleinu. Hashem did so many nice things to us. If we say, really we should say, Kamot Milas Tovus Amokam Lonu. Hashem did things to us. We don't. We say, Aleinu, on us. What's Peshat Aleinu? Because everything the Rebbeinu Shlom does to us is on us, it's not to us. Every time the Rebbeinu Shlom does us a toiva, now it's our responsibility to make ourselves deserving of that toiva. Hashem gives you a good day, you have to make yourself deserving of it. Hashem gives you money, you have to make yourself deserving of it. Nothing in life is free. Hashem gives you free things for now, but you have to work on yourself. And the Rosha, what does the Rosha say by the Seder? He says, Ma avod is this lochem? Why are you doing this work? Which is echoing what we heard Esau say. Lama zeli b'chor, why do I have to do any work? He sees the story of Mitzrayim. He says, look, everyone came out for free. They didn't deserve it. They weren't on that level. So, what's the point on doing any work? But Dafkan this night, Dafkan from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, during these days of Shoivim, we have to look at these parashas, and we have to realize that we need to take Yetzias Mitzrayim as a lesson, that even though we got things that we don't deserve it of, we're not deserve it of, even though it looks like you can have people who don't do anything, they don't put on tefillin, they don't keep Shabbos and nothing, and they have very nice lives, and it looks like everything's going well, we have to realize that nothing in life is free. The Rebbeinu Shem gives us things. The matonis that he's giving us is for us to better ourselves and serve him better. It says, Mimachras HaShabbos. After Shabbos, we start counting Sefirot Shlomim. What's Mimachras HaShabbos? So Shabbos is a matana. Yeah, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Matana Tova, Yeishli Beis Gnodav Shabbos Shemoy. Shabbos is a matana the Rebbeinu Shem gave to Klal Yisrael. Specifically in this pasuk about Sefirot Shlomim, we refer to Pesach as Shabbos. Because Hashem's telling us, Pesach is a Shabbos. Pesach is a present. I gave you a present, a one-off. Mimacharas HaShabbos, coming out of that Shabbos. You're coming away from that present. You know what you need to do? You need to count Shiva Shavuos. You have to start counting seven weeks. Those 7 weeks are going to take you to Shavuos. The 7 weeks, the idea of 7 weeks is now that you've got this matana, like we spoke out, you have to better yourself. You have to improve yourself to become people who are deserving of Kabbalah Satoyah. It's only if you now work on yourself and make yourself deserving of that Yetzias Mitzrayim that I'll give you the Torah. Mimachras HaShabbos, from that matana, you have to go and work on yourself and get to a level of Kabbalah Satoyah. That's why we don't count down, we count up. Because we're building up. We're not counting down to an event. We're making ourselves ready for Kabbalah Satoyah. One level, two level, three levels. We're working ourselves up to get to that level of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is called what? It's called Shavuos. Why is it not called Yomim? So in nature, there's all sorts of periods of time. There's a day, there's a week, a month, a year. So most of these times are natural. A day, the earth spins on its axis. A month, the moon goes around the earth once. A year, the earth goes around the sun once. What's a week? What makes a week? A week isn't a natural event. The only thing that makes a week is because we count it. We make a week. Shavuos, the whole idea of Shavuos is we came away from Pesach. We came away from the freebies where the Rebbeinu Shem gave us everything. We're now working ourselves. We have to make Shavuos. We have to make ourselves roy for Kabbalah Satoyah. And that's why Shavuos is called Shavuos, because a Shavuah is what we make. That's what we do. We don't do days. We make weeks. We create weeks. We count weeks. So these parashas, the whole idea of Shoivavim and these parashas at this time of the year, is to look back at what happened during Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're in Parashat B'Shalach, we're getting to Parashas Yisroi, Kabbalah Satoyah. This is the time to work on ourselves, to look at what we have in our lives, all the freebies that we have, and make ourselves deserving of what we have, and better people who are roy for Kabbalah Satoyah.